All right, what's up, guys? We are back with another podcast episode this week. I am your co-host, Chris. No, co-host. No, I am the host, Chris, and that is my co-host, Will. My second time
right
doing
the first
this.
Time. She said it right the first time.
That's instinctual. That's just how it goes. It's okay, Chris.
That's so bad.
Let the people
I can't
know.
Believe the second time I've ever tried to do that intro, I have now botched it and said you were the host. That's the dumbest thing I've ever done.
All right, hey, what's up? This is also Pickleball Will. I'm your host of the Pickleball Studio podcast. And I'm going to let my co-host do the rest of this because obviously he's my assistant. So, Chris, take it away. Like you always do.
Oh my gosh. Yes, I am Chris. That is Will. I am the host. That is the co-host. We're never going to mess that up again. All right. Well, that's a good start to this week's pod. But yeah. we actually have some fun stuff to go over. There's a bit of news this week. And then our main topic about pickleball players being delusional about their ratings or just ratings in general. I think we're going to have a lot of fun with this one because I did some interesting digging on the internet. And I think there'll be some good discussion points slash laugh slash chatter. It'll be.
Oh, I can't wait. This is going to be great. You know, this has always been a high topic like for pickleball since I guess it kind of blew up, right? Pickleball player.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll get into it. We'll get into it.
Go for ahead. Sure. All right. First thing I want to show people. So on April Fool's Day, let me grab the paddle here. So on April Fool's Day, I didn't do anything this year. I wanted to. We kind of all talked about doing something, and it just kind of slipped away from me time-wise. However,
no, we did do something.
What did we do?
Well, Carbon did something.
I guess we were like a part of it, but we didn't do it. They just said, "Can we do this for you?"
Yeah. I please tell me that they sent you one, and you're about to show it on screen right now.
Okay, so for those of you who don't know, Carbon did a like fake product launch and then had pictures with all the reviewers and fake quotes of them like reviewing a nut cup. And it was all of the posts were very funny. But here's what's even better. I played with somebody this last week and like someone hit an overhead and it just nailed the dude right in the junk. And we all started laughing. And my friend looks at me and he goes, "Dude, did Carbon send you one of those? Because you got to give it to this guy."
The guy immediately went online, tried to search it up and try to purchase. Actually, yo, I don't know if he was trolling me or not, but my buddy Mo, the one who sends you the Lukey grips, shout outs to Mo and the Lukey grips.
Yep, shout out to him.
He said he saw that and he actually went online to see if he could buy it. Like, he thought it was legit. And I was like, there's no way you thought that was a real Mo. He's like, and you know what? After he kind of stuttered a bit, I was like, you know what, Mo? I wouldn't have put it past you because that's something that he would do. But yeah.
That's so funny.
I love that guy to death. All right. Anyways.
But yes, that was great. But then I did get several packages in the mail that day. It had actually been a minute since any packages came out. But I got one from 11624 because I had just told them. I said, "Hey, could you guys send me a couple more Huaraches? Like, I like the paddle. I'm probably going to use it for a bit. I just want to have some backups for tournaments if I ever need it." And they were like, "Yeah, sure." And they had just come back in stock. So that's what I was expecting. And then I open the box and I see what I expected. And then at the bottom, I see this beautiful paddle.
Oh, my God.
If you guys are listening, they sent me a April Fool's paddle. It's their Kevlar Huarache that they've been working on. But it has my logo in the middle, a Rubik's Cube, and then it says
so you.
Huarache 3-5, but the E in Huarache is a 3, and then -5. The company name on the paddle, it also says 11635 instead of 11624 on the paddle.
Oh, that's so good.
So, I don't know. I just thought this was hilarious getting this in the mail.
Hey, bright side, Chris, you finally got your own paddle collab. Congratulations. How does it feel?
I don't know if I'd really call this a collab, but I'll take it. It's better than nothing. I can say this. You know what this kind of feels like?
Yeah.
This feels like the participation trophies. That's what this feels like.
Well, be careful, Chris, because I might steal that collab from you. In fact, Rio, Isaac, this is the perfect spot to put that meme we photographed. Do it right now. Flash it on screen.
My gosh. I'll make sure he has access to that meme. That was a pretty funny meme that we shot. But yeah, I thought this was pretty hilarious to get in the mail. That was definitely clever of them. But actually, one other thing I do want to talk about. This is the only paddle I have to talk about this week because I have been working on the Yola review so much that I haven't gotten to play test a whole lot of other paddles, which actually, speaking of, those are going to launch on the 16th of April. Yola finally made a post. So they are coming soon. And that's what I'm working on. I will have reviews up on launch day. So stay tuned for that.
You know what else
that.
Is coming soon once that thing launches?
What?
Bruises and body bags. The count is going to go up across the board, across the country.
Across the nation.
Across the nation. Oh, yeah. Oh, man. Everybody bring goggles and bring ice packs to your local rec play and to your tournaments because it's going to happen. Yep.
For sure. For sure. Okay, so I haven't gotten to hit this yet, but I am eager to hit it. We got another wide body paddle. This is the Spartus Apollo. Nice. There's been a lot of chatter about this in my Discord. The shape of it's really interesting. It
wait, I haven't
yeah, here you go.
It looks like a Mach 2.
You better say what I'm thinking.
Mach 2. Oh,
that's not what I was thinking, but it's Solaire? It is no, I wasn't not even that it looks like another pickleball paddle. It looks like one of those things you scoop a pizza out of the oven with.
Oh, snap, you're right.
Like one of those boards, you know?
Yes, the pans, the board. I see what you're saying. Shoot, you know we should do
I
that.
Don't know if it's wider than the other ones, but like the shape definitely looks different. Like when you look at this in person, you're like, holy moly, that is a really square, fat face. So I don't know. I think this is the first wide body Kevlar paddle to hit the market, so I am curious to see how that plays out. But yeah, people in the Discord have been loving it who have hit it, so I'm very eager to hit this thing.
And you asked them to send me one. Actually, they reached out to me a little while ago. I need to follow up with them, but they said they would send me some stuff because I haven't hit with any Spartus paddles.
It's like, I think it's 140 before a discount code. So, you know, even after a discount code, it's even cheaper. So okay. It's a very reasonably priced wide body paddle. So eager to hit it for sure.
Cool.
Okay, moving on. I want to talk about this. I think you said you haven't watched it yet, but there's a pickleball documentary, Breaking Pickleball. You haven't watched it yet, right?
No, with Kyle. I knew about it. I know about it because Kyle posted about it, and he, in his post, he said that it would release April 1st. And I mean, just from the trailer itself, I didn't know it was a joke or not, but I was like, no, there's no way this is a joke. I mean, it could have been. But I was like, if it's not a joke, it's going to look really good because that trailer looked incredible. So, I mean, you said it's good. You watched it?
Yeah. So they're releasing one episode a week for the next four to 6 weeks, I think. So the next one comes out tomorrow, the day that this podcast launches. And episode was great. It was very, you could tell it was very high production. Like it's people who have clearly had to have worked on documentaries before. The story was good. I was probably a little more invested than the average person on the first episode because
why is that?
We know Kyle and he was one of the main focuses. So,
dude, I feel like a lot of people in the pickleball world, I just assume that they know Kyle because he's one of the most or the more well-known, I guess, pickleball influencers or content creators, personalities. You know,
he just hit 100,000 on YouTube.
Yo, shout outs to that pickleball guy, my boy Kyle Kazuda, crushing it. And you know, it's funny, he did say he called that out, I think, a year ago when he started. Like, I think you had 10K at the time, he started at zero. He's like, dude, he's like, Chris, I'm gonna surpass you in like a couple months, and you're like, not a shot. And then he's like, I'm gonna surpass you, and then I'm gonna hit 100K within a certain time frame. He did it, man.
He did. The teaching content goes hard in pickleball, it is by far the best. If there was a type of pickleball content to get into in pickleball, if you can teach, for sure the highest view count you will get is
The highest growth and potential, for sure. Yeah,
no doubt. But yeah, for sure, guys, I will leave a link down in the description. You should definitely go and watch the documentary. It's very well made. I'm excited to see the other episodes and see where they take the other stories. And I hope that we see it for, you know, more of the tour. So I don't know if we said this, but Jigsaw Health was the ones that made this, or they hired a production team to do it, and then it was about their Arizona pickleball league and the players playing in the league. So
yeah, shout out pickleball, to Jigsaw.
Watch it.
They do such a good job with the Orchard. I'm pretty sure they're the main sponsors, or they're the owners of that event, and
they own it, the building.
They are, right? And the people who do their stream, it's actually Eddie from Eddie and Webby. He's the one who helps, you know, set up the stream, and they do a phenomenal job. So, like, shout outs to them. I think that is the kind of product that Pickleball needs. You know what I mean? Like, just kind of like more localized, but still done at a high, you know, production value, feel, you know, entertaining. And I don't know. That's what I like to see more of. And that's what I think we're trying to do here in Oklahoma. And I think a lot of other states and cities and towns are also trying to do something like that too. It just feels, I don't know, more organic.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Okay, moving on. We have PPA is now using Duper as their official rating system. This news came out this week. And Unfortunately, there's not any, like, basically they just announced that it was the official rating system. They didn't say how it was going to impact things, how they were planning to integrate it. But I definitely have questions about how it'll be integrated, because Is it just going to be like, hey, we're partnered with them, and now all the stuff will be entered into Duper? Because, you know, it was all this, but after the whole merger and whatnot, or after everything went down, Duper with Steve was separate, and a lot of tournaments weren't getting entered into Duper because Tom Dunnan owns Pickleball Brackets and yada, yada, yada. So it's like, okay, is it exciting now because every tournament will get entered, or is it exciting because Duper will actually be enforced so that you can't sandbag? And then if that is the case, I have questions on how they will do that. Like,
yeah, don't they still need to fix the algorithm? Like, there's people
who they do change it all the time.
It's still, I feel like it's still not accurate, or very inaccurate for some people, new people out there. And I don't know, it just, I still hear complaints about it. People can't raise their Dupers even though they're winning certain tournaments or events, or they lost, you know, way back and now it's affecting their score now. I don't know how the algorithm is being calculated or what's done about it now, and or if they're still making changes and improvements on it.
Here, well, I mean, they're definitely making changes, and then, you know, improvements is probably debatable depending on who you ask. But
okay, yeah.
The thing that I think is really interesting when people complain about Duper, it's certainly not perfect. I've seen some really wonky stuff. Actually, right before we got on this pod, I think I saw a Facebook post. A guy said a brand new person to Duper played a 3.7 and like a 4.1 Duper, and he won that match 11-4, and then he was rated as a 4.99. And I was like, okay, that's kind of wonky. That's really high. So that definitely happens. But what I will say is, if you have a lot of tournament matches, like you or me, where we've played in a bunch of PPAs, we've, you know, in different parts of the country, I have never felt that my Duper has been off. I've never been mad how much I've dropped at a tournament. I'm like, yeah, I played poorly there. It dropped how I would have expected. Or it went up, and I'm like, yeah, that's probably about... So sometimes I wonder if people are a little too paranoid about it, or they just don't go to enough tournaments, because with enough big match history, I'm like, Like, mine's like a 4.7 right now, and I'm like, that feels fine, and there's a lot of matches. So I don't know. Some of the complaints, I'm like, what are you basing it off of? Just like local leagues or rec matches? Because that, to me, means nothing. Like that, it probably will be inaccurate.
Yeah. I agree. I think, let me see, my doubles, I think you're on the same as me. What am I? I'm like a 4.8 right now, I think.
You're probably like a 4.8 or a 4.9 if I had to guess. Yeah. I haven't seen it in a minute.
Yeah, I haven't seen it in a minute. I just know I had a huge drop somewhere. I forgot when or why. But, I mean, I'm not mad at it. I'm like, yeah, I play at a 4.8 level on average, I would say. And we could all play higher. But really, it's, I think what people need to worry about more is not necessarily the number, but it's like, well, I mean, you should worry about the number, but it's the gap. Right, on your worst day, how well do you play compared to your best day? Because if that gap is wide, then you're somewhere in the middle, like, you know. So don't be mad. I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that can play much better than what their Duper says, but like, on your worst day, you know, and that could be the day that you play in a tournament, you know, because that's when you know, things matter, and you get tight, you get tense because you're playing in a tournament and you don't play so well, and maybe your Duper drops, and that's okay. But I think, you know, we'll talk more about this, but people kind of inflate themselves with their own Duper, and maybe it's an ego thing because, oh no, I play at this level, but, you know, my Duper dropped down to this because I played bad one time in this one tournament. I was like, well, that's how it goes, I'm sorry. You know,
for sure. And what I want to know how they're going to do with this is, like, okay, if you're going to try and use it to help prevent sandbagging, there's a couple potential problems I have. For example, let's say that guy that beat the 3.7 and the 4.1, he got rated a 4.99. Let's say he has a PPA like 3 weeks from now and he doesn't play another match. Yeah. And they see that and they go, oh, this guy should be playing 5.0 or at least 4.5 if you round down. But maybe he is actually just like a 4.2 and he should be somewhere like 4.0, maybe 4.5. Like, how are they going to determine what the cutoff is? If their profile is new, are they going to use the data? Like, I just want to know how they're going to implement that to prevent sandbagging, because it could be just as problematic. Like, if your duper's too high, you might get put in a bracket you'll get murdered in, or vice versa. I don't know. I'm just curious what they do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll see how it all pans out. I'm sure there'll be many more discussions that we will have later on this year about dupers and ratings, etc. It's not going anywhere, and it's not perfect by any means. There's a long way to go.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Last thing for news. Anna Lee got her 100th PPA title win this weekend. She triple crowned. So did Ben, actually. His first triple crown of the year. So pretty crazy. 100 titles is insane. I don't know off the top of my head what Catherine is, who I believe is the second highest woman with the most amount of PPA titles, I think. Okay. But 100 is wild. That's a lot of flipping titles.
Yeah. Shoot. Do you think so? I'm really curious what Catherine's PPA titles. Let me see if I can find it real quick.
Sure. If I'm going by memory, I feel like it's somewhere between 40 and 60. It's like in that range. Also, how long do you think it'll take Anna Lee to get 200?
How long did it take her to get 100?
I mean, I guess I don't know when she started playing PPA, like 2021, maybe. But I wonder who'll do it first, Ben or Anna Lee, to hit 200.
Ooh, Anna Lee.
That would be my prediction as well.
Yes, I think Anna Lee. All right, it's not showing anywhere that's really quick, so...
Okay.
Yeah, unfortunately, I can't find it.
Well, I mean, anyways,
on her Wikipedia, it says 16 PPA tour titles, but there has to be more.
Yeah, there's no way that's right.
Updated.
Okay. I actually, you know what? I think I might be off on the 40 to 60. I think I actually might... I feel like I might be confusing that with a different stat. I don't know if 16 is right, but I think I'm off on the 40 to 60. I think I'm confusing that with another one.
Well, if one of you guys know, let us know in the comments of how much it is. And then, Chris, you can pin it. Okay.
There you go.
Moving next.
All right. Moving on, primary we have our topic. Main topic.
Yes.
Will,
why are pickleball players so bad at guessing other players' ratings?
Yes. So this came into discussion because we posted our paddle reviewer battle video, which was me, you, Brayden, and John, and we rotated with all of us and played some games. And within, I don't know, like 20, 30 minutes, you just start seeing the comments rolling in. And I'm just like, holy moly, these people are savages. People are like, these guys are 3-0s. Like, I can't believe we listened to them for paddle advice. This is for sure 3-5. None of these guys are even 4-0. Like, some people were like, posting comments and then deleting them, and it was like comments were all over the place. And
there's
now
just
I will say,
no way. When I saw that, I was like, "There's no way they see this and they think that we're 3-0, 3 like, okay, 3-5 maybe, because you know that's you, that's your brand. Okay, you're 3-5 at best. I thought maybe it could be a joke, but to say we're 3-0, I was like, "There's just no way. How could you?
I know
what? What's going on? What world? What dimension are you living in?" You know,
now it of course doesn't help that John and I got pickled in the first game, which is absolutely insane. I genuinely think if we did that game, that match 10 times, I don't think that happens again.
Well, I guess I will have to do it again. I don't know.
Shoot. We're for sure doing it again. The next time all four of us are together, we should just refilm the video.
Okay. But we'll go in reverse order. It'll be me and John first.
Yeah.
And then, because I think exactly, because when I had John, he was kind of warmed up. He knew the games. Maybe his confidence was up. I'm just sad I couldn't get John the dub. I should have gotten him the dub. I was like, okay, I'm getting you the dub. We were like up 12-7 or something
eight
like that
something,
at one point.
Yeah,
and then I had a few mishits, and then you're playing a little hot, and then I should have just turned up the jets just a little bit, but I was playing too laxed, and I was like, I messed up. And that's par for the course. for me. I mean, well, you know that playing with me has many times. I just goof around like way too much. But yeah.
That is your default mode, is like goofing around.
Dude, that's what I'm telling you. That's why I don't like games up to 15. I got to like stay focused for way longer. I'm like, oh gosh, you know, because in my mind, when I hit 11, I was like, oh, technically already won this thing. All right, whatever. On to the next one. You know what I'm saying?
And that's how I needed you to feel when you were playing John and I the first game. Oh, I needed you to chill after 11.
I mean, I was chill that whole entire thing. The rest of it, that was all on you guys. You know, you activated 3.5 at best, Chris. And I was like, oh, okay, shoot. I don't even have to do anything. I don't even need to play up to my duper. Shoot.
Yeah. That's funny. But yeah, after seeing all these comments, it really did make me laugh. And I knew they were going to happen, right? Because if you've ever watched literally any pickleball video of gameplay that is not pro, if it says like 5.5 advanced level pickleball, I promise you there's a comment in there that says, this is 3.5 back in my local courts. Like every single time that comment will be there. Mm-hmm. It's the most classic meme in pickleball. So I knew it was coming, but it was just so funny to see because I'm like, what is the... So I would say, I think, let's see, all of our dupers, I did check actually. I think yours was like 5.09. Braden's was like 4.8, mine is 4.7, and then I think John's was like 4.25. But John also hasn't played a tournament in a while, so his might not be super up to date. But I just laugh because I'm like, I don't know. Do people think you just accidentally get to like nearly a 5.0 duper with like 300 plus matches or something? It's like,
I don't know. Maybe. Shoot. I think the thing is that we talked about this before, that most people don't record themselves or have ever seen themselves play, and they don't know how bad that they look or how awkward they look. Sometimes when I watch my own footage, I'm like, wow, I don't look nearly as good as I thought I do. And it's just the way it is. It's hard to make it. I mean, and you know what's funny? I think that goes for almost any sport. Imagine if you recorded somebody, I don't know, playing basketball, baseball, hockey, whatever it may be. I bet you most people do not look as good as they think that they do.
There is a very high chance that is. I think pickleball, if I had to guess, is even worse.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Compared to other sports, and we'll get into why I think that. But just like you said, if you have never filmed yourself playing pickleball, I highly encourage you just take your iPhone and either have someone hold it or buy a cheap $10 tripod on Amazon and film some of your games.
Film a whole
game. Watch it back.
Yeah, and watch it back.
Find the point that was the most memorable to you, the most exciting, and watch it back. And I can almost guarantee you, you'll watch it back and say, wow, that does not look nearly as cool as it felt. Every time.
It never looks as cool because... Pickleball, I'm not going to lie, unless you're playing like singles in the pros, maybe some dubs in the pros, like it does not look cool. I'm telling you right now. I know it. Pickleball does not look cool, and it's fine. I've already accepted this fact when I'm playing, and people still make fun of me when I tell them that I play, but it's okay. I've accepted that already. Other people out there, they need to accept that fact, you know?
And what has made me laugh is, so it's harder, right? Like, if you're watching players you have no idea and you're watching a video, it's like, oh, okay, you know, it's easy to be judgmental. So I went back and found tournament matches of any of our, from all sorts of different ratings of players in Minnesota that I personally know and can vouch their playing level. So I found 5-0 matches, I found some 4-5 matches, I found some 4-0, and I read all the comments, and every single time people were like, 5-0 players, actually some of them are even playing pro events now. Yeah. And people are like, yeah, this is for sure 4-0 back in my state. And I'm like, dude, I can literally verify how good these people are. So
they just make it look that easy. That's what it is, man. They make it look that easy.
Dude, I don't even know if it's easy or what it is, but it made me laugh when I could verify some of these, because that's crazy.
Okay, I have a question now for you then. When you meet somebody for the first time or you watch them play, you know you're going to have them next. You haven't met them before. You're at a rec court. When you first, like, what are you looking for to gauge their level? Because I'm assuming when you're watching somebody, you're in your head, you're gauging their level. So what is it that you look for? Are there any telltale signs of someone's rating or level if you just kind of watch them play?
I mean, I feel like it's so many small things that it's like impossible to go over. I think generally speaking, when you see certain traits, you know, you kind of pick up on it. Like, how long does a dinking rally last? What do their hands look like? What does, you know, a drive, a put away, their drops, like, you know, all sorts of just small things. But I do think that because a lot of people haven't seen them play on video, and of course, in person, it looks even faster. Like, if you've ever watched pros on your computer and then watched it in person, it's a completely different game. It looks so much faster in person. And same thing, even at the amateur level. On video, it just looks horribly slow, horribly unathletic. And I feel like if you haven't ever seen yourself on video, that leads you to believe, like, no, I look better than these guys for sure.
Well, I mean, the truth of the matter is that pickleball does look slow and unathletic, and it's because most of the times it is.
That's, for sure.
Like, that's what it is, you know? And that's not saying that it couldn't be athletic, it couldn't be fast, but to me it feels like 80%, 90% of the time it is slow. It is unathletic. I mean, that's the whole reason why, I mean, I can play doubles in croc slides and still have success, or play with, you know, the pickle paddle that's, you know, the size of his little spoon and still have success at a high level, because, I don't know, it is technically easy, you know?
I will say, though, we're going to get to this in a minute, but I'll jump ahead for half a second here. I went and watched some, like, 3-5, 4-0 tennis matches. And I'm like, man, tennis players always goofing on pickleball players saying they look unathletic. Have you ever watched 3-5 tennis? Because it doesn't look like they know how to do anything.
3-5 tennis is pretty bad. 3-5 tennis, even 4-0 tennis for the most part. Like, you know, it looks really choppy. Like,
not coordinated. Footwork is awkward.
Mm-hmm. Like, techniques are not that great. But, you know, you compete at that 4 level, and then even some at 4-5, but once you start getting to 4-5, then you start seeing better sound technique.
For sure.
I mean, I played a lot of 4-5 tennis back in my day, USTA, you know, and I played against some 5-0s. I used to train with some people who went to, like, college, you know, for tennis, and yeah, like, it's up until, it's, I mean, it's kind of like the same in pickleball, like 3-0 to 3-5 pickleball and tennis. Kind of, yeah, it looks awkward, looks unathletic. Yeah. It's hard. It's hard, dude.
For sure. And one thing I did also do is I went and looked up a ton of gold medal matches at huge tournaments, like Nationals, US Open, Golden Qualifiers, like the types of tournaments where if you made it to a gold medal match, it usually means that you are a quarter point or a half point above what the listed division is. So if that's a 4-5 gold medal match, a lot of times it's 5-0s or 4-7-5s playing in it. Or, you know, 4-0 gold medal match probably means it's 4-5s, right? It's very rare that an exact 4-0 is winning these huge tournaments. Yeah. Okay, so I looked these up. And even with that knowledge, I even looked up players that I have personally seen play that I know are good. And everyone was like, nah, man, this 5-0 gold medal match or 4-5 gold medal match, no way this is this level. And I'm like, dude, that's actually insane that you're saying that right now.
You know, it's interesting. I had a conversation with some of the people here in my city and some of my friends when we're rating people, right? Or just players who are just coming in on the rec court and they're just asking my opinion. I tend to rate a little differently. At least, like, what I rate via skill, like what skill sets you have, you know, how's your forehand look, backhand look, things like that. And some other people, they rate based off of results, right? It's like, could this person win a 4-0 tournament? Like, could this person win a 4-5? And I'm like, I don't really like that, because I mean, what if the pool or the bracket is of, like, you know, a 36 team bracket and you got in fourth place, right? Like, and you always get in fourth or fifth, right? And you're playing 4-5. Does that make you not a 4-5 just because you couldn't get a medal? And so, I don't know. I think results is a poor way of looking at it. I think you need to look at skill set, right? And that goes back to why I was asking you, what do you look for in a rec player to kind of gauge their skill? Like, if you only had, you know, maybe a few points to watch, I know you said it's a lot of different things, and it's true because it's very nuanced. But for me, the first thing I look is footwork, how they move, how do the volley, like if I see a drive and how they accept the, receive the drive, like do they drop it, to do they volley back, how do their volleys look and how do their resets look? That's usually the first thing that I look at. And then kind of like step back speed ups on the bounce is usually a good telltale sign of the level for me. So those are like the few first things that I kind of look at.
Yeah, for sure. And I always think it's a little bit tough too, because I think you can have players that seriously excel in certain areas but are really bad in others. Yes. Like I can think of players here who have really bad mobility, they have really wonky backhands, like just things you should not ever do with your backhand, but they play 4 or 5 pickleball just fine. But if you looked at them for certain shots, you would for sure go, this guy's a 3-5. But then other things like hands are so strong that it makes up for the lack.
Yep.
And it's funny, I actually even think I have this problem. I think, and I think I've said this before, but my worst skill set, in my opinion, is my hands. And that's the thing I've been working on the most right now, specifically countering the ball. I think the skill set that I have right now is probably closer to a 4-2-5 level player in terms of counters. But then I think everything else is higher than that. Or a lot of other things are higher than that. So it's funny the things that are holding you back. Like, I don't think I will hit 5-0 really consistently until I can clean up my counters, because they're just pathetic for where I am right now.
No, I would agree with that. Seeing you play and seeing you develop, I would say that your hands are still the weakest. But I think you have like really strong resets. Your dinking's pretty good. Your speed ups off the bounce now are pretty solid. Some of those, I would say, I think your resets are close to 5-0 levels, I would say. I think
resets are probably my highest. That's your strongest. Like my best trait.
Yeah, for sure.
I would agree.
Your serves are getting pretty nice too, I'm not going to lie. So that's pretty good.
Yeah. Thank you.
And then if you can play like that one time you played with your left hand back in Las Vegas with that, what was it? Was it a backhand, like one-handed? It was a
forehand.
Oh my gosh.
No, yeah, the one-handed backhand was nasty left-handed.
Dude, I was like, yo, maybe you should just switch to lefty if you could do that again. That's like, you know, that was 5-0 plus. I was like, whew, all right. I don't want to see that, Chris. Shoot.
That was really funny. Yeah. Okay, so here's one of the biggest ironies. Mm-hmm. I laughed going through these YouTube. So I watched 4-0, 4-5, 5-0. And everyone always said, this is lower than what you're saying it is. Uh-huh. Then I was like, what are people saying for 3-0 and 3-5 matches? I went through gold medal matches, random amateur matches. I went through probably dozens of videos. Almost every single time, the comments for that, the lower level ratings, they would say, these guys are sandbagging for sure. None of these are 3-5. So I'm like, if you go up to 4-0, everyone says, no way these are 4-0s, and then even higher. But then you get to 3-5 and everyone's a sandbagger. So I'm like, make up your mind.
The people out there have a clear, you know, idea in their mind of what a 3-0 or 3-5 looks like and a 4-0, 4-5 looks like, and they just don't match up. That has to be what it is, you know?
Yeah.
It has to be what it is.
It's actually crazy to me. And I think there's a couple things. I think potentially there's two things that are the biggest contributors to this. One, on video, I think generally the ball looks like it's moving slower. It's easier to spot flaws versus in person and whatnot. And the other thing is that I think ratings in pickleball are such a disaster for the most part that there's a lot of people who think they're way better than they are. For example, you might have like your local Jerry at the courts who's like, I'm a 4-5 for sure. Like he's just a self-proclaimed 4-5 and none of these people play tournaments. And they're like, well, I beat Jerry all the time. Or, you know, Jerry looks better than these guys on YouTube, so I must be higher rating. And I think that some of it is people don't have a good gauge for what these ratings actually look like and these skill sets are supposed to be, because they're playing in a small pool of people at like their local park.
Yeah. And then it also doesn't help that I guess higher level pickleball, it looks easy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because when you get better, you know, you're simplifying your movements and your strokes. And so things just look easier. And, you know, I think that has to do with it.
For sure. And last thing, or one of the last things on this note, I was like, you know what? Is tennis the same way? Are people like toxic in the comments of every tennis match? I looked up tons of ratings for tennis and looked at the comments. Total opposite of pickleball. I'm not even kidding you. Everyone's like, wow, these players are so strong for 4-0. Or wow, that guy, he might be a 4-0, but he's got a 4-5 serve all day. And then pickleball is complete 180. Like,
Pickleball is the opposite, right? It's very welcoming in the beginning. Well, for the most part, right? I think it's still generally very welcoming for new players. And then, of course, when you get online, the comments are just toxic. Or is it becoming toxic?
And then it's funny because tennis is the opposite. Like, a lot of people talk about it's very clicky. It can be snobbish. It's hard to get into these groups. Then you go online and everyone's like, wow, man, you are a great tennis player.
Shoot.
What is going on, dude?
I haven't made any videos on tennis, but like, I can see that. And I don't know what it is. It's like, because once you get into tennis, you're part of that club now. You're part of, you know, the tennis elite club. You know, you become part of the clique. You know what I'm saying? That's why. So that's why everybody's nice to each other. That's what it is.
You guys should let us know down in the comments what you think it is, why people in pickleball consistently say, oh, there's no way this is X, Y, and Z rating. Because I think there are a lot of things that contribute, but it just baffles me that you almost can't find a video on YouTube where people aren't saying that. I have found a few, but they're far and few between that exist.
I would have thought people would be nicer to us in our paddle review. Wait, why not? Why do you think people would be nicer to us?
I think the more well-known you are, you're a bigger target, or like easier to make fun of.
Okay, I guess that's true, but like that doesn't, maybe it's for, okay, I'm trying to think of other large, you know, YouTuber influencers in the pickleball space. Let's say Kyle. Well, I mean, you can't say anything to Kyle. The man literally plays pro, and like, I don't know, like I wonder if Kyle got any of those comments if he ever posted a match footage or anything like that. Do you think he ever got any of that?
I don't know that he ever posted a lot of amateur games, so probably not. But I'm sure if he did post a bunch of them, it would be bound to happen, right? I can't tell you how many pickleball videos I watched tonight and looked at the comments, and it's wild.
But like, what do we have to do? I mean, so now if he posted up now, like, no one's going to say anything because,
like, no way, that'd be crazy.
They'd be crazy to say that. Okay, so what do we have to do? Do we have to start winning some like pro qualies or something? Like, what do we got to do to change people's minds, man?
Here's what I've established. I thought about this week. I was like, okay, how good do you have to get at pickleball before people stop making fun of you for certain things, or say like, oh, actually that's a really good player? And I was like, it actually doesn't matter what level you get to, right? When you're below 4-0, people are probably gonna say you're not good at pickleball. Anything between 4-0 and 5-0, they're probably still going to say you're not that great at pickleball. And then even when you get to low-level pros, like a Grant Bond, people are still going to say you're not good at pickleball.
Yo, you can't be saying that to, you know, my homie Grant. How are you going to do him like that? It's okay. You know, you can also be, you know, you, Christopher Olsen. You'll never be good at pickleball. You'll be 3.5 at best forever. It's okay. Okay.
Graham was just the first person that came to my mind, but you could also throw, actually, you know, another great one, a great example, Sam Querrey. They actually teamed up this past weekend, so it was perfect. It was a match made in heaven.
They did get a win, and I love that Sam is leaning into his meme world, or, you know, for that he's a meme. It's so funny, and I love him for it.
I think that is the best way. If you like really wanted to deal with it, leaning into it and making fun of yourself would be the ultimate way, because then people are just like,
that's what you do. So
yeah, they're like, he's already making you. You just do it for me.
Yeah.
But no, seriously, I really think that it almost doesn't matter where you are. Even high level pickleball players, you know, they have a bad match and everyone's like, this pro player sucks. And it's like, okay, well, they don't, but
Gosh. I just had an epiphany. Is that why you got pickled the first game? Is because you're a big brain and you were just like, okay, I'm going to do this for my own personal branding. I'm going to get pickled 15-0. Is that what happened? You can tell me. It's
anything
okay
after that, people are like, he's better than I thought he was.
Yo, guys, if you guys out there haven't watched the Paddle Battle review video, you should go there and watch it. And I'm going to say it turned out just how I thought it would turn out. I was going to smoke all of you guys, and it happened.
You didn't smoke everyone.
I mean, 15-0 in the first one, and then 15-3 in the second one. I don't know.
Oh, okay. You and I guess, did beat the other two 15-3.
Yeah,
it's because exactly. I was on your team. I carried you.
what happened in the first game? What happened?
You just figured me out. I tanked it for my brand. It was a good thing for the brand.
Oh, okay, gotcha. And then, honestly, I should have beaten you guys 15-7 in the third game too. Oh man,
but you didn't.
I tanked. You didn't. I had to give you guys something. You know what I'm saying? I couldn't have, you know. The humiliation would have been far too high, you know.
Here's the crazy part, Will. I tried to throw game three, so it was also good for my brand, and we still won. So I don't know what that really said.
Damn, you did a good job, man. Shoot, I wouldn't have known. I didn't know. Damn, you can just sweat on command. You know, you were sweating bullets, and I didn't know you could miss Ernie's and whiff just like that. You know, but wow. You did really good. Somebody give this man an Oscar for his acting abilities.
I know, right? I might have to switch careers. Okay, anyways, that's most of what we had to say about ratings. I just thought it was super funny seeing the comments and then digging deeper into Pickleball YouTube and just going, wow, you will never escape this no matter who you are. In fact, the only way I think you could actually do it is if you were like a 5-0 player and you posted the video and said, this is 4-0 gameplay. Like, I think if you set the tone way lower than what you are, then people are like, dang, yeah, they're good. So
yeah, but you didn't say that, though, right? We didn't
put no.
a specified rating or level on the video title, right? We just had to, like, you just made a random title. Well, not a random title, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, but I bet you if I said, like, oh, this is 4-0 gameplay, people would have been like, oh, yeah, that's 4-0, even though, like, almost three of the people are 5-0 or are now playing 5-0 tournaments or have played. The people in your OPPL league or whatever are literally probably five plus to pro.
Yeah, some of them are. Yep, they are. And
you won
it. I did, but like not without a lot of help.
4-0.
Not without a lot of help. That's what I mean. That just goes to show you the level, you know, on your worst day and on your best day, you know, and it's shortening that gap. That is the hardest thing. Usually, like, if I know you can play 5-0 or pro level, like, I'm still taking account how consistent you are day to day, right? If I see you on a really bad day, and I'm like, okay, that's going to drop your rating down. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's just how I look at it.
For sure. For sure. Okay, so we've made it to the kitchen, and last week we did a giveaway, Will.
Oh, yeah.
And
who won?
Someone. You know, I believe his name was Thomas, if I'm recalling that correctly.
Congratulations, and his paddle was shipped Thomas.
We're going to do this again because Engage had given me a bunch of paddles and they just said, hey, you can give these away. And they've been sitting in my... no, not the Pro 1. These are the Extreme Evolution V2 and the Pursuit Pro Max. I don't remember how many they gave me, but it was a ton of them. And I've been meaning to get rid of these somehow, so we're just going to do another giveaway. So if you've made it this far, DM me at the Pickleball Studio on Instagram, not at the Pickleball Studio, and just say Engage Winner 2, and whoever is first, you will get an Engage paddle. And again, I pretty much promise you, within 20 minutes, I will see your message if you won. And after that, I'm not going to respond to every single one and tell you that you didn't win. So if you don't hear from me, you didn't win, but I promise you, if you win, you will hear from me shortly.
How many responses did you get? I'm very curious.
I lost track.
Oh,
it wasn't like 100 plus or something like that. It was probably like 20 to 30-ish.
Oh, really? That's it? Hey, you guys listening out there, you guys have a good shot. There's only 20-something? Yeah, go at it.
Here's my thought. Here's why I think there wasn't more. One, because you have to make it this far in the pod, and I'm guessing not that many people make it this far in the pod consistently. And then the other thing is, if you see this pod 8 hours into the day, you're like, someone else already won this for sure.
Oh,
however, there actually were some people who DM'd me like 2 days after the pod, and I was like, oh, it was worth a shot. Maybe if nobody did it.
Exactly. Maybe everybody thought that somebody else got it, so they didn't even bother. And then somebody who came 2 days later got it. Like, imagine that happened.
That would be crazy.
Or imagine you're just really generous and you decided to give a second one away. Who knows?
I'm not going to lie. I debated doing that last week. I'm not even kidding
you. Okay. Well, there you go. All right, guys. Start just rolling it into Chris's DMs.
Oh, boy. All right. So we don't have a ton for the kitchen this week, but I just thought it would be fun to go over. There was a lot of tennis versus pickleball beef this week.
With Mr. Christian Alshon, the tweener king himself. Okay.
Set the world on fire with a tweet. You want to read that?
Yeah, I'm going to read the tweet from Christian Alshon. For those of you who don't know, Christian Alshon is a professional pickleball player. He kind of came on the scene, I would say, I mean, he's kind of a veteran now, but he was relatively new, and he rose up the ranks really quick. He's known for making tweener shots and really, I don't know, crazy shots. Anyways, so this tweet said, "Pickleball has made me a much better athlete than tennis ever did. Faster reaction time and speed are needed since the ball is only coming from 10 feet away. Point for point, pickleball requires more skill than tennis." Whew. He did this April 2nd at 9:37 a.m. And it's gotten 1.4 million views. And he had a few responses from people in the tennis world. And just, I mean, shoot. What are your thoughts on this? Do you agree with him or do you disagree with him? You play a little tennis. What do you think?
Okay, so at the highest level, there's just no way. I mean,
no
way. I don't think I agree with that at all, but I don't think the statement is entirely incorrect depending on what you're benchmarking it. But if you took whatever our most decorated pickleball, like let's just say you want to take Ben, and then you want to take like Djokovic, there's no way you're putting these two athletes on the same pedestal and saying like Ben is as good of an athlete as Djokovic. There's no way. And if Ben tried to go and play tennis with Djokovic, is gonna get absolutely spanked. And but you know, vice versa, Djokovic coming into pickleball right now would also get spanked. I think if you were gonna base it solely off of reaction time, I think it's faster in pickleball, being 14 feet away from someone, and some of these speed ups are hand battles. Mm-hmm. But so if you're basing it only off of that, but if you're saying like how decorated you have to be as an athlete to compete at the highest level, tennis is going to take the cake.
Yeah, I think if you're talking about overall athleticism, for sure. I think I would say until you get to the higher level, I would say 5-0 plus, 5-0 to pro, like athleticism for tennis higher. And at the lower levels, in my opinion, they're closer than you would think. And you know what? I would disagree with this. And here's the thing. I agree with most of it. It's his last sentence in his tweet. He said, point for point, pickleball requires more skill than tennis. Everything else before that, where he says, pickleball has made me a much better athlete than tennis ever did. Sure, that's great. That's fine. That's his personal opinion, his personal experience. Fine, right? And then second sentence, faster reaction time and speed are needed since the ball is only coming from 10 feet away. I would say that is also a fairly true statement for the most part, but his last sentence is really what sets it off, because that puts it into context when he says point for point pickleball requires more skill than tennis. And I'm like, nah bro, I totally disagree. I mean, when he did it, I thought this was an April Fool's thing, because I thought it was on April 1st, right? But yo, Christian knows what he's doing. There's no, I just can't believe that he would actually believe this. He did this as a bait, right? And oh boy, did people take the bait.
They took the bait. I mean, the fact that he got Nick Kyrgios to respond is insane.
Oh man, I was like, Nick, don't do it. I was just like, if this is true, I was like, James Blake first responded. I mean, let me just read you the responses. James Blake said first, former professional tennis player. I think he also invests in a major league team or invests in pickleball in some way, shape, or form. But he said, James Blake said, that might be because you are playing at a pretty low level of tennis. Now, I don't know what James Blake considers low level of tennis, but Christian Alshon did play, I think, D1 tennis. I know he played at UVA for a short time, and UVA is the D1, like really, high level tennis school. And he went to another school in Chicago. I'm sure he played tennis there. So I was like, okay, I don't know if that's considered low level of tennis because I wouldn't. And then he said, maybe if you were familiar with athleticism it takes to excel at the sport, you would realize how ridiculous this statement is. And I would agree with him. But also, I don't know if James Blake like maybe searched up who Christian Alshon is and maybe looked at where he played. I don't know. That is debatable what he did or not. But, ooh, first hook, line, and sinker. And then the next one, Nick Kyrgios. Oh, King Kyrgios himself. All right. And he said, yeah, let's hide under the bed after this statement. Ha ha ha. Bro, get me the best pickleball player and compare his talent to Roger Federer. Wild tweet. Wild thought. Delete right now. Crying face emoji. And Nick said, I love pickle, but you had too many tequilas. And so, I mean, Nick said it off as a joke. And I would kind of agree with Nick here as well. And I'm sure, dude, there's so many. Like,
now, this is I have an interesting so counter much. For you okay, that I want to yeah, pick your brain
me.
On.
Hit me.
So, while we pretty much both agreed the highest level of tennis, it's going to be harder
yes.
for it's just going to be harder. But, we have had plenty at this point of decorated tennis athletes come into pickleball, and not one of them has reached number one. Most of them, really not even that close, except Jack Sock. He is the best former high-level tennis player that is mm-hmm. well-respected, come in, and is still not the best.
Yeah.
After, you know, really? at least like a year.
At least a year. I mean, yeah, it's going to take him a little bit longer. And it's true. I said this before. Like, so wait, what was the original question again? Like,
well, it's just like the thought that, you know, I guess there wasn't really a question inside of it, but you've had these elite tennis players come over that people, I'm sure, if you had tennis players say, okay, Sam Querrey, Jack Sock, Jeannie Bouchard, any of these people, if you said, hey, if they went over to pickleball, how fast do you think they would become number one? And people probably would have even said for Sam, oh, pff, give him 2 months and he'll be number one.
Sam said he was like, give me 3 months. That definitely didn't happen. And it depends on the skill set that you have in tennis, because some of the skill sets required to be successful in tennis, or, you know, that you need to be in tennis aren't necessarily the skill sets that are going to help you in pickleball. Jack Sock has seen, you know, some successes because he was a high level, top level doubles tennis player. And he also played pickleball. But it also just goes to show you that, you know, people say this to me all the time, right? You know, they used to argue in some of my match play footage on my channel, like, dude, I can come and pickleball and I could come beat you. I played tennis, this and that. And they just assume that I never played tennis, you know, or I played tennis at not a very high level. And I mean, I played at a high, like pretty decent rec level, I would say. And, you know, I always rebuttal with this statement. I'm like, okay, you're a 4 or 5 tennis player, or, you know, UTR of like 7 to 8.5 or something, which is, you know, fairly high for rec level. I was like, okay, if I also play tennis, okay, and our skills were the same in tennis, right? And I've been playing pickleball for 2 years, 3 years, and you just came in. What makes you think that you can beat me if our tennis skill experience was the same and I played a game that you haven't touched and I have 3 years experience on top? Hell no, you're not going to beat me. Are you freaking kidding me? And that's also kind of the same argument or the same kind of mindset you have to think about in tennis. Like, you could be a very high level tennis athlete. And let's just say Ben Johnson, you know, he played some tennis, he played table tennis. And, you know, if he went to tennis, no shot. He's going to, you know, be up there in maybe the top 100, top 200, right? But he knows enough tennis. And then he's had so much experience playing pickleball. You take another random somebody in like the 200s ranking in tennis or whatever, and if they have no pickleball experience, they come in, what's going to be the difference maker, right? It's going to be that experience. Some of the skill sets does go over, and I'm sure there will be some outliers of people who, you know, play tennis who just pick up pickleball really quick, right? Because it's just hand-eye coordination, and pickleball is easier. I'm never going to say that pickleball is harder to play than tennis, because in my opinion, that's just not true. But I do think people underestimate how difficult it can be, and people don't take into account the experience, you know?
Yeah, I'd be very curious to know what has to happen in pickleball. Like, how athletic does it have to get? What type of athlete do we have to have? Because we have some very athletic people. I mean, Christian Alshon is very athletic. Jaume is very athletic. Fed, like, you could go on and name all these athletic people. Mm-hmm. Well, if they went over to tennis, they might not be, you know, top 500, 300, 100, whatever you want to pick. I wonder how athletic we have to get before people are like, yeah, these guys like are actual athletes that are very good at what they do, yeah, like compared to a tennis player. Like, you know, I feel like you're just always going to look at a top 10 tennis player and go, yeah, this guy's more athletic. But I feel like even if you took some of those guys over here with their athleticism now, it doesn't just mean they're going to crush it.
Right, because, I mean, pickleball, like, the athleticism doesn't play nearly as much of a role because the game is very easy. It neutralizes the athleticism required. That's, you know, kind of the, you know, the goal of pickleball is to even the playing field, right? And now I will say this, that now it's easier than ever for former tennis players to come in, and I feel like to kind of find immediate success because, dude, these paddles are so good now, right?
Yeah.
You get so much spin. There's so much power. You can hit it with, you can hit some of these paddles with a semi-Western grip. When I came into the game maybe like 2-3 years ago, it was very hard. It was possible to do a semi-Western grip, but you still had to like, you really had to have good racket skills,
to really
good
work.
Timing. Yeah, you had to really work. But now it's easier than ever. So if you had a good tennis stroke, like it is easier than ever to come in and be, you know, like 5-0 and be a banger because like you can totally do it, you know? And before, you couldn't do that. And the thing is, when I argue with tennis players, right, is like tennis is such a execution heavy kind of game and sport, very unforgiving, right? The rackets are really big, long, they're heavy, and the strings just bounce that ball off like really far, so very unforgiving. So a lot of tennis players spend literally decades, their lifetime, perfecting stroke execution, and they still can't master it, right? And the people who have really good stroke execution, sometimes that's all you need to win a tennis match, like 3-5 to 4-0, even to like 4-5, right? But once you get to 4-5 plus and 5-0 in tennis, right, most rec tennis players don't, what's the difference maker? If everybody, like, you know, let's say top 100 in tennis in the world, top 200, even top like, I don't know, 400, right? Everybody has strong serves, you know, pretty good stroke mechanics. There's minor nuances where, you know, people are a little bit better than them, but it's so small, only like the best coaches can really find it. But when you have all that, everything is all equal, what's the difference maker, right? Why is Djokovic, Nadal, Alcaraz, why are those guys like in the top 10, right? And it's because of, you know, court IQ, right? They know when to hit the shots, they know how to construct points. And in pickleball, you get that much earlier on because you don't have such a high ceiling for execution. Everybody can kind of execute. It's very forgiving. So the difference maker is shot selection and the moments you choose those shots and court IQ. And that's why pickleball is fun. It kind of democratizes that so people can have fun, because that part of tennis is actually really fun when you can kind of play chess. In pickleball, you can get to that level where you can kind of play chess a lot sooner. And that's why we all love it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very interesting. Also, another thing that I think is kind of fascinating when looking at pickleball versus tennis, and why I, part of what I think makes pickleball look almost silly at times, at least in the higher levels, is you see people like miss a dink in the net, right? And if you're just watching this, you're going, there's no shot I would ever miss that easy soft ball in the net. However, again, TV doesn't show it very well, but the other thing that I think is interesting and people don't think about a lot is the margin you are aiming for over the net is so much slimmer than in tennis. Like, you might be aiming 5-10 feet, however high over the net in tennis, because you're just hitting these giant topspin drives. In pickleball, it's like you don't have the luxury to hit the ball 3 feet over the net. That's going to go straight into someone's counter zone and just like crush the ball. Like, even a couple inches extra over the net might be the difference of someone speeding it up in your chest or dinking the ball.
Right, exactly. No, I totally agree with you. And I don't know, it just, it doesn't show well right now on TV and on video. Like, you have to make it so it's obvious to, you know, the regular viewer who's really not into pickleball that much or hasn't watched pickleball. Like, how do you make them understand that they're aiming for a very low part of the net, or like they're aiming for very low margins?
I think the only way is if you've just played it.
Yeah, you either have to play it, or they have to put some sort of overlay on the screen so you can kind of see like, oh, this is like a green zone or a red zone or a yellow zone for your opponent, and they're aiming for this like red zone so they can't attack the ball. Like, you know, it's, so it's really hard to see. And yeah, I don't know. We still got ways to go when it comes to that. And yeah, more people need to play, and more people need to record themselves playing to see how they look like, and they can really gauge and understand, you know, how difficult it can be. But I like to say that, I don't know, pickleball requires more skill than tennis by Christian is totally absurd. I'm sorry, Christian. I don't agree with you. like, there's just no way. But I don't know, Christian. I still feel like he's playing the big brain play, and he's totally did that on purpose to bait to bait this, and he's milking it in, and he got them hook, line, sinker. Dang, Christian, you a good fish. You good fisherman, man. That's all I gotta say. You must be good at fishing. Shoot,
he caught a curious. That's a rare catch. Yes. Maybe he'll catch Djokovic or Federer next.
No, they're totally, are you kidding me? No, there's no way Djokovic or Federer would say, they're totally beyond that. Here's the thing, if you are actually a very good like tennis player, I just feel like you wouldn't waste your time responding or saying crap like that. Like, so whenever I see somebody in my comments or doing comments over pickleball, like saying how stupid or dumb it is, and they'll say, oh, I play tennis or whatever, I'm like, you might play tennis, but you probably suck. Like, because I feel like if you're a good tennis player, right? If you're a good tennis player, you, first of all, you wouldn't waste your time saying that. And maybe you are good and you, I don't know, just want to make somebody mad. But to me, like, I think if you were actually a good tennis player and you got to a level where court IQ and, you know, angles and setting up points, right? And you were well-rounded, you played doubles, singles, you could see, you know, kind of the beauty of pickleball and why people like it. And you wouldn't say something like that. You wouldn't be mean to pickleball. Maybe you don't like it, like, which is fine. But I think if you're a high enough level tennis player and you understood those things, you wouldn't waste your time saying, I don't know. Like, you wouldn't be a hater. You wouldn't waste your time being a hater. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, why does anyone waste their time being a hater on an internet comment? I've never understood it. It's to this day still baffles
me. Yeah, weak
me.
Egos. Weak egos, or I don't know. They need to put something down to make them feel better. I don't know what it is, but yeah. I don't know.
Crazy.
The end of the day, keep it coming. Keep the comments coming, because honestly, you're just feeding the algorithm. It's fine, yo. And I'm here to troll y'all anyways in the comments. It's perfectly fine. Somebody said somebody, like, I don't know if you've seen my clip that I posted with Pickleball on Ice. We played pickleball with tennis rules, and that got, yeah, the algorithm caught some people who also play tennis. And ooh, the comments in there are just so funny to me. Some dude was like, said something, and I was like, fault or whatever, the kitchen is stupid or whatever, this looks way better. And then I was like, yeah, the kitchen is dumb, I don't like cooking in there either, or something like that. Something stupid, right? I wasn't even really responsive, but he said something along the lines of, dude, pickleball is so dumb, I don't know what you're cooking in there. And I was like, bro, I just told you I don't cook, you won't find me in the kitchen, relax, it's not a big deal. So anyways, I don't know, people are just dumb.
The internet's a wild place, man. The internet is a wild place. But
yeah, but we're glad that you're on the internet watching our content, listening to our content. Thank you, guys. Yes,
we appreciate it. We appreciate it. All right, that's all I got for this week. Anything else for you, Will?
None. That's it. Good stuff, good times. And I guess comment down below if you guys want to see the rematch between me, Chris, John Q, and Braden. I'm sure they're training really heavily. Chris cannot believe he got pickled 15-0. And there's no way he faked that, because his response to that was just too real, too true.
We'll find out the next time we do it.
Okay. All right. Keep training, Chris. Keep training.
All right. Catch you guys next week.
Peace.